Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. We thank you for this day. Welcome to Harvest Worship Center, a study in the Word. We're in the middle of an in-depth study on love. This is message number 25 today. And the title of today's message is Love, the Perfect Bond of Unity. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together heart to heart with you this morning, Father, to study your word, to study the living word of God, to study with joy and to open our hearts up to receive, Father, the engrafted word of God, the living word of God, the word that brings forth in our lives. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that brings revelation, knowledge of that word, and opens it up in our lives in an ongoing way as we walk through our daily life. We're thankful, Father, for that. We're thankful for the privilege we have of receiving it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as I said, today's title is Love, the Perfect Bond of Unity. And I guess I better get my notes where I can look at them to start with here. There we go. Last week we talked about, above all, put on love. And this is connected to that. It's kind of a part two, but a little different title. You know, our love for one another is proof that we love God. If we do not love one another, we cannot be loving God. God's love for us, in us, and our love for Him joins our hearts and draws us together. Love really is the perfect bond of union between us and between God and us. It's the perfect bond. It's a bond that cannot be broken. It is love itself, and that's what joins hearts together. It's so sad that most of us, we really do not have an understanding of love. We don't know what it is. We don't know where it comes from. And we think we're walking in love. We don't spit on the sidewalk. We're kind to people. You know, at least we think we are. They might not think we are. But we do those little kind gestures here and there until somebody crosses our path the wrong way, looks at us wrong, or someone that has done something to us in the past. We feel that we can go ahead and be unkind and unloving to those, but not and still be walking in love. That's not the way it is. That's a carnal kind of love. It's a feeling kind of love. And we talked about that in earlier messages in this series. But the love we're talking about is the love of God Himself. Amen. That He has imparted to us by His Spirit. It's so important that it's the last prayer that Jesus prayed. It's the context of it. It's the summation of all that He was sent for. And we've talked about this prayer before, but in order to bring it into our subject matter, which is putting on and walking in, and an in-depth study on love, we need to bring it back into this particular section again. So we're going to look at John 17, not the whole prayer. Like I said, we talked about it before, but we're going to start in John 17 and verse 21, and we're going to take our time with this and with a couple of these other scriptures, because we're still talking about putting on, and above all, put on love, which is last week's, and love, the bond of unity, which is this week's. You have to put on love before it can become your bond. And so today we're going to look at John 17, verse 21 to start. And as always, this is the Amplified Bible. It's the very best resource for study that you can get, because it brings out the Hebrew and the Greek both in the context of the way it was written. So it really works very nice. So we're going to take our time here. John chapter 17, verse 21. That they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. We talked about that particular verse before, and we mentioned that this verse here contains all of the whys. You can ask why the cross, why creation, why this, why that. It's all summed up in that. It's all summed up. God is doing nothing else. God, man was created to be one with the Father. That's why we were created. We were created to be one with the Father. We were to be of one heart, one mind, one purpose. That's why Adam was created. Amen. That hasn't changed. That hasn't changed. God never separated from man. Man separated from God. This is the summation of all the purpose of God, including everything that he created.
Amen.
That they may be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. How is Jesus in the Father? Are they one? They're one. They cannot be separated. Part of the Trinity. Jesus is one. Yes, Mom?
Well, we see the word just, and we use the word just, but we don't often understand what it means, just. It comes from justify.
Mm-hmm.
And if you justify something on the computer, you make it even on both sides.
Right.
Okay? It's not right, it's not left, it's justified.
Justified.
And what it means in a text like this is exactly.
Exactly. Absolutely the same.
He wants us to do this exactly.
Yes.
As he and the Father are one.
Now we can adjust those margins in a computer and they're still not exact.
Right.
The computer can only get so close to exact. But we're talking about
exact.
Exact. So, what did he say again? He said that they all, so that includes us, right?
Yeah.
So that they all may be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you.
Exactly.
Exactly the same. So, what is the Father's desire? What was his desire for Adam and Eve? What was his desire for mankind? That verse right there.
Amen.
And that's never changed. And everything that he's doing is to get man back to that.
Yes.
And it is possible because he prayed it. Now we know that that is the will of the Father. Jesus wasn't just slinging some words out there that he'd like to see done as a man. He was praying the will of the Father.
Amen.
We know that because there's numerous verses where it says that he doesn't do anything or say anything that he doesn't have hear the Father say or see the Father do. They were absolutely one. Yeah, but that's the man Jesus. Yes, it was the man Jesus. But he was without sin.
Amen.
He was in the condition that Adam was created in,
yes.
But on a little bit higher level. Even though he laid aside all of his Godhead to become man. He was fully man and is fully man. And he was fully God and he is fully God.
Amen.
He is the man, Christ Jesus. He identified himself throughout Scripture as the Son of Man. That's why he did that. He made himself one with the Father. So as we look at that, as we look at this verse here, and it says that they may be one just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, we need to get to the depths of that right there. It's in the same way that they are one that he made us one. We have been made that way. We have been made one by that cross. Then it says that they also may be one in us. See, he's not leaving us out of that statement. That they may be one in us so that. This is why I want this to happen. This is why I'm doing this. So that the world may believe and be convinced that you sent me. This is the whole reason Jesus was sent. This verse in John 17:21 is the fullness of God's intention with creation.
Amen.
It's the fullness of everything that he's doing, everything that he has ever done, is to bring man and God back into that oneness.
Yes.
That sameness. One heart, one mind, one thought, one purpose. That is why we were created. It was never God's intention for man to fall, but he was prepared for it.
Yeah.
It says that Jesus was crucified from the foundation of the world. So this is the fullness of the gospel right here. This is why the cross. This is why heaven. This is why creation. This is all the whys that you can come up with. This is the why. That they may be one that the world may know.
Amen.
Now it is possible because this is God's will. Verse 22. And I have given them the glory and the honor which you have given me. Take time with that verse. And I have given them the glory and the honor which you have given me. What kind of glory did God give Jesus? Did he have the right to give it? He had the right to give it. Why? Because it was given to him to give. You know, once you give something to somebody, you release your ownership of that. Now, if you loan it, you're keeping ownership. But if you give somebody something, if it's a gift, it's from you to them, you no longer have any ownership of that.
That's right.
They can do anything they want to with it because it's theirs now. So the glory, this is the same glory and the same honor that God imparted to Adam.
Yes.
It's exactly the same. It's the fullness. That's why he breathed his own self into Adam. He put himself into Adam.
Amen.
God himself placed himself in Adam and Eve because of Adam.
Yes.
That was his purpose. So now Jesus, this gift of glory and honor was given to Jesus. So he has a right to give it back to man. He's not just giving it something they didn't have. He's given back what they already had.
Yes, what they lost.
What they lost when the fall came. The glory and the honor. What is the glory? The glory is the fullness of God.
Amen.
And we read that last week in Colossians where it says that the fullness of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit abides in you.
Amen.
We read that last week.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the word means. We are full of the Godhead bodily.
Amen.
When the Holy Spirit came in, that was the fullness of God. When we got born again, the fullness of God comes in. So he imparts this to us. This glory is in us. It's not in manifestation because we don't allow it to be. But it's been given to us. So it's ours. That glory was given to Adam, so he had a right to give it away, which is what he did. He gave the glory and the honor to Satan when he fell. So that's where it's at now. And because of that, all of creation is under that bondage. The word says that all of creation groans for the manifestation of man. It's grown. It wants this. Why? Because when man fell, creation fell.
Yeah.
The natural resources are all under that bondage too because man fell.
Mm-hmm.
Man gave it away. But this gives it back to man.
Hallelujah.
This gives it right back to man. That's what the cross was all about. So when we get born again, we move right back into that glory that God has had for Adam and has for Jesus. The same glory. I have given to them the glory and the honor which you have given me, that, so this is why he gave it to us, that they may be one, even as we are one.
Amen.
Why did he give us the glory? Because without it, we can't be one.
That's right.
Without the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our life, we can't become one. We can try. We can do things that are alike. We can even lay down what we want and do what you want. We can become one as long as you do it my way. That's not being one. We'll get married as long as it's my way. As long as I can keep my identity. That's not marriage. Marriage
Amen.
Is, that's why Paul used marriage as a type and kind of the church, and the church is a type and kind of marriage in his letters, that they may be one, that the world may know. There's a merging, a coming together, a heart, depth, heart, spiritual oneness that comes on man when he gets born again. And that oneness is so important. That's what we put on. As we put on love, we're clothing our spirit in love.
Amen.
Not the outside. It affects our outside. It affects our external being, our carnal nature. It affects that. But the actual clothing is done on our spirit man.
Amen.
We are clothed with the glory from the inside out. It comes from the outside in one time. But once the Holy Spirit comes in, the glory came in. Once the Holy Spirit came in, love came in. Once the glory came in, patience came in.
Amen.
Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. All of the fruit of the Spirit are present in every genuine believer.
Amen.
They're already there. It comes from the inside out because of the presence of the Holy Spirit
yes.
within us when we get born again. So it is there. We got to call on it. We got to draw it up. We got to act on it. We got to make decisions concerning it, but we can do that because of the strength of the Holy Spirit within us, because of His anointing in us, because of His ability to bring understanding to us and bring a revelation knowledge to us. He is the very presence of God Himself living inside of every believer. So we can be one.
Amen.
Wherever we're not one, it's because we're allowing our carnal, sinful nature to get in our way.
Yes.
We're being emotion ruled.
Amen.
We're being world ruled, carnally minded ruled, and not ruled by the Spirit Himself. Our spirit is supposed to be submitted to the Holy Spirit, and our spirit man submitted to the Holy Spirit is to have dominion in our life.
Amen.
That's the way it's supposed to be. And that's the oneness that God is seeking. That's the oneness that Jesus is praying for here, that they may be one. Don't you know, if somebody actually does walk in love, they're noticed.
Oh, yeah.
They're noticed. The world won't like it. For one thing, it convicts them. Light shining on their darkness. They don't like that. Because they know they're wrong. They may never admit they're wrong. They may fight for the fact that they're right, but they're not right. They may even go to church, but they're not right. They're not right because they're not walking in love. Love is the only way, and it is the judgment.
Amen.
Whether or not I make heaven or hell is based on my love walk. It's based on the love and the knowledge of my Father and me and my relationship with man.
Amen.
That's what I'm judged on. I'm judged on my love walk. How? And I can't function in the Word of God without walking in love.
That's right.
Jesus said there's one here already that does the judgment, even the Word which I've spoken. The Word is the judgment. But that word is based in love. And that's what that word is founded on. And if it's not, if I'm not doing that, if I'm not correcting myself when I fail, if I'm not doing that, then that's my fault. It's not anybody else's. I can't blame that guy who's always mad at me. I can't blame him. I can only blame myself because I'm responding wrong. Well, he'll just keep doing it then. No, he won't. He may try to keep doing it, and for a season he may, but I can guarantee you God will intervene there.
Uh-huh.
And either he'll get born again and change, or somehow he'll be removed out of the way, one way or another. But God will take care of his child. If you are yielded to him, he will take care of you.
Amen.
Love will do that. Love is, there's nothing stronger. Nothing. And verse 23, I'll go back to 22. I have given them the glory and the honor which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. So again, he's saying, I want God's people, I want man, to be one in the same exact way that we are one.
Amen. Just.
That's God's purpose. That is not possible. Yes, it is. Or it wouldn't be there. And Paul talks about that in his prayer in chapter 3. He goes into the depth and the length and the height and the width, that we may come to understand and know.
Amen.
The fullness of the love of God. We can be in that place. It takes a lifetime. It takes a lot of decisions. It takes a person that is 100% determined to walk in love.
Yes.
And it's not easy in the natural. It's easy in the Spirit because you're not doing it yourself.
Right.
You're doing it by the Holy Spirit strengthening you and guiding you. That's how you're doing it. And when you fail and fall, you just get right back up again and start again, because the Holy Spirit lifts you up as you allow Him to. You repent and He lifts you up. And it's just as if you never sinned at all. That's what justified means. Just as if you never sinned. You're being justified. You've been brought back into rightness with God.
Exactly.
Exact rightness with God. He does that, not me. I admit it. I take account of it. I present it to the Father, and I receive His grace and honor.
Amen.
I receive that. I have to believe it.
Amen.
No matter what I see or what I feel, I have to believe the love. I have to believe the love of the Father. If I don't believe the love of the Father, it won't work.
Right.
If I'm basing it on emotions and feelings, it'll fail because it's not based on that. It's not a carnal, natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. And that's who we are. We're really spirits. That's why it's so important for us to concentrate, on understanding and knowing and walking in love. Amen. There is nothing more important that we'll do in our life. Some of us want to read the Bible from cover to cover. That's okay. If you see it through the eyes of love.
Amen.
If you're receiving it as a love letter and a covenant between you and God. If you're receiving it that way and you read it from cover to cover, now it'll bring life to you and to everyone else. But if that's all you're doing, it's just mechanical, you're reading the Bible, you're not receiving what you need to receive from it. It's a living word. And that life that is lived there is love. That's the life it brings. And if I'm reading it through the eyes of love, through the eyes of a loving father to his son, from the eyes of him desiring us to be one, then every verse in there brings life. Because I'm seeing it through different eyes.
Amen.
So it brings life. And now my time there means something. Not only to me, but to others. And it brings great joy to the Father because I'm receiving his word the way it was meant to be received.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm not just doing it. So it makes a big difference in our life. So his desire is for us to be one that way. Where the Father can tell me something and I know it's him and I just do that. Not based on what I can do, but based on what he can do.
Amen.
Not based on who I am, but on who he is in me. Okay, so that makes a big difference. I have given to them the glory and the honor which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. That's why I'm giving them this glory and honor, that they can become one.
Amen.
I in them, and you in me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united. Perfectly united. United. That the world may know. Now he's saying it again. That the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. That's hard. That's hard for us to understand. How in the world, with what I've done, how in the world can God, who is love, love me? How is that possible? He's God.
Uh-huh.
He's never stopped loving you. He never has. You just didn't know it. See, that's the gospel. For God so loved the world. That's the only gospel. Going to hell is not the gospel. It's the result of not walking in the gospel.
Amen.
Of not knowing him as Lord, but it's not the gospel. The gospel to somebody going to hell is that you don't have to.
Amen.
The price has already been paid. God loves you. He can't possibly love me. I've murdered 6 people. Or whatever, I haven't. But
make that plain.
Yeah. Mac Gober. I was in the convention with Mac Gober. And he's one of Hell's Angels, but he didn't start out there. He was a Vietnam vet and come home and nobody loved him. Nobody accepted him. So he wound up with Hell's Angels. And he was so bad that the Hell's Angels locked him up.
Yeah.
Themselves. I was in the place where he gave his testimony. There was something like 10,000 people there. And he was so bad that he'd get completely nuts. So they'd lock him in the barn until he calmed down. Hell's Angels locked him up. He's bad. And part of his testimony was that he himself was responsible for the death of 9 babies.
Abortions.
And yeah, he himself was. That's how bad he was. He was bad. But he didn't start out that way.
He also had warrants in many states.
He had 8 times. Yeah, he was bad. He got saved from a track. I won't have time to go into all that, but it's an awesome testimony. Mac, M-A-C, Gober. G-O-B-E-R.
I've got his story.
He's in heaven now.
Library. Yeah, he died a few years ago.
But he started Canaan Homes for Boys. And not boys. These
young
were
men.
Boys. Bikers and things. And thousands got saved. that particular meeting, it was a believers' convention, and that whole front was filled down the aisles with people getting saved. Awesome testimony. But that's what I'm saying. You can't do enough. No matter what you've done, God loves you. God loves you. And I can tell you something else. Matt Gover's not the worst. Mm. There's some worse than him out there that got saved. One of them, I believe, was an informer. Mm-hmm. The cannibal guy.
Oh, Jeffrey Dahmer?
Yeah, Dahmer.
Yeah.
He got saved before he got killed. You know, God is so good. He's so good. You can't do enough not to receive God's mercy. It's available. That's what the cross is about. So much so, it's past, present, and future. So God's whole reason for Jesus, the whole reason for man, is that we can be one.
Amen.
He wants someone like himself. We'll never be gods, but we can be his sons and daughters. Him moving in and through us, we can be one with him in this life. We have to do a lot of repenting. We have to do a lot of now moment living. We have to do a lot of study, a lot of praying, a lot of loving. But the more we love, the stronger we get. The more we forgive, the more we're forgiven by others. See, I cannot hold someone in bondage to unforgiveness and be one with the Father.
That's right.
I cannot walk in love and hold unforgiveness. I can't do it. If I'm in unforgiveness with someone, I'm not forgiving. If I've got bitterness of any kind or anger towards anyone, I'm not walking in love. It's just that simple. And if I'm not walking in love, who am I walking with? Not walking with God. He'll never leave me nor forsake me, but I have to fix that. And he don't leave me alone doing it. He helps me with it, but I have to physically make the decision. I have to commit to it. I have to do the forgiving. He empowers me to do it. And then I do it because of love, not because of what the person did. I forgive because of love. I forgive. I can't love him. He's not saying you love him in the beginning. You forgive because you love the Father.
Amen.
He empowers you to forgive. And you'll wind up loving that person, no matter what they did to you. You'll love that person because you love the Father. And you're doing it based on his word. He empowers us to become one. The same forgiveness and honor that God gives you, he gives to that person. He's not seeing a difference between you two. He doesn't see a difference. He knows that you're his child and the other person isn't. But that can be fixed. He just doesn't know. And you're loving that person after what they did, especially if you didn't forgive them and you've been holding it against them and they know it. If you forgive, they see the love.
Amen.
They see something they have not been able to do. That's awesome. That's power. And that's the glory and the honor that God has given us through Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That you have loved them even as you have loved me. That verse right there, you cannot get to the depths of it. How did God love Jesus? They're one. You can't get to the depths of that.
Amen.
But it's the same way he loved me. No matter what I've done. It's time for the church to grow up.
Yes.
It really is. Now, 1 John 5:1. Everyone who believes, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, is a born-again child of God. And everyone who loves the Father also loves the one of him, born of him. And everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of him, his offspring. So you cannot, God's desire is if you're going to love me, God's saying, if you're going to set your love on me, if you're going to be born again, You have to love your brother. You have to do it. If you love me, you're going to love them. The more you love the Father, the more you love your brother.
Amen.
You cannot separate from them. That's why unforgiveness is so bad. Because it separates you from the person, but it separates you from God as well.
Yeah.
Because in order to love God, you have to forgive. But again, you're not alone. He even moves through you to strengthen you and give you the ability to do that. That's the love of God. That's the love of God. Everyone who believes. So that leaves nobody out. Everyone who believes. Well, I believe. Do you? Do you really believe? Yeah, I believe. I know that's what that says. I believe that. Well, what are the words that define believing? Adhere to, trust, relies on. So I have to ask myself, Michael, you said you believe. Well, do you adhere to it? Yeah, I adhere to it. What's it mean? What does that adhere mean? It means you're stuck. You cannot be pulled apart. You're adhered. That's what the one is. I am one. You can't move me apart. I believe. I adhere to this. I believe it. You can't get me away from it. I trust. Do I? Then why don't I do it? If I trust it, then I'm going to rely on it, which is the next one. Rely on it. It means that I'm going to lean on it. You move, if that moves, I'm done. I'm going to rely on this. I'm not going to rely on my neighbor. I'm not going to rely on my own ability. I'm going to rely on God.
Amen.
I'm going to rely on this love. I'm going to rely on it. It's going to carry me through. I don't care how I feel. It has nothing to do with it. I don't care what he does. It has nothing to do with it. I don't care how sick I am, how tired I am, how feeble I am. It has nothing to do with it. I'm going to rely on the love. I'm going to rely on the word. I'm going to have faith and believe in that. No matter what happens, I'm going to believe that. That's believing. So listen to it again then. Everyone who believes, adheres to, trusts in, relies on the fact. Now, what's a fact? It's something that's absolutely true. Whether I believe it or not, it doesn't matter. It's still a fact. Mm-hmm. I don't have to believe in error, but it's here. If it's not, I am in trouble.
Can't see it.
Can't see it. I can believe on that chair holding you up. You did, or you wouldn't have sat down in it. Okay, so I can't necessarily believe it. I can't necessarily see it to believe it, but I believe it. I believe it. I trust it. Everyone who believes, adheres to, trusts in, relies on the fact that, what fact? That Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. I believe that. Or the sent one, the Messiah. There's people that claim to be Jesus the Christ, and he's not the Christ, or not. This one is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they still got trouble with that. Jesus is the promised one. He is the only one. He is the Son of the Father, and he is the Son of Man. He is. Well, how do you know? I know, because I believe. I trust in that, and I rely on it. I have evidence inside myself. I know the Father. He knows me. I know we are one. Well, how do you know? I know. How do I know I love my wife? I know. I can't give you the scientific equation for it, but I know. I know. You can't talk me out of it. I know. That's the way. You believe. You believe.
Amen.
I believe what he said. And when you do that, you become a son of God. You become a child of God. You become one with him. That is something we cannot put a scientific equation to. How do I put a scientific equation on passing from death into life, from light into darkness? How do I put a scientific equation on being raised from the dead? I will be. I have been. Because I'm in Christ. How do you put it? Science don't know everything, folks. Well, they're not gods. And that's why they keep changing their minds with everything. Well, we thought it was this way. But now I'm not so sure. It's this way, I think. And they just keep trying things till they come up with something and hopefully it's the right thing. A lot of the scientific breakthroughs are accidents. They didn't discover that. They just happened into it. You know, so, but we don't just happen into this. You don't just happen into a relationship with God, with Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. You have to acknowledge it, believe it, and receive it.
Amen.
Then it happens. Well, I'm going to try it. You can't try it. If you try it, you don't do it. You either are or you're not. You either do or you don't. You can't try this. There's no going back. You believe, you receive, and it's yours.
Amen.
You were circumcised of heart. That old man was cut off. Can't go back there. You're born again. Okay. So, if I love the Father, I have to love you. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love springs from God. And he who loves his fellow man is begotten, born of God, and is coming progressively to know and understand God, to perceive and recognize and get a better and clearer knowledge of him. Once we set our love upon God, it's progressive. I keep doing that. I keep setting my love upon God. I speak it, I act on it. I declare it, and I believe it. In this now moment, and then I do it again in my next one. It's progressive. That's what John is saying here. It's progressive. The more I make a decision to love you, the more I make a decision to love the Father, the more I understand and know God. Because why? God is love. In order to understand love, you've got to be loving. If you're trying to understand love before you do it, you're going to be a long time. You will never get there. You have to make the decision to do it before you start understanding it. You have to make the decision to get born again, quality decision to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Otherwise, you're not going to do it. It's got to be something that you decide to do. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is, and I like to amplify it, it says springs from God. And he who loves his fellow man is begotten, born of God, and is coming progressively to know and understand God, to perceive and recognize and get a better and clearer knowledge of him. He who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him, for God is love. If you know God, you're going to love God. If you know God, you're going to start making decisions to love that other person.
Amen.
You're going to do that. Love of the Father compels you to do that. So he who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him, for God is love. In this, the love of God has been made manifest, displayed, where we are concerned. So how do we know? This is how we know. It's been manifested. Manifested means being brought into being, being brought forth. In this, the love of God was made manifest, displayed where we are concerned, in that God sent his Son, the only begotten or unique Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Jesus came as the manifestation of His love.
Amen.
It is God Himself. Think about all that He did. He set aside everything. Jesus set aside everything. Everything that He was to become a man with no guarantee other than the word of the Father. He had no guarantee. He knew He was going to the cross. Every footstep He took was towards the cross. Every step towards that cross was a step to hell. Every step He took towards the cross, every moment, every now moment He lived towards that was a moment of being absolutely, totally alone. Completely separated from God, completely separated from the Holy Spirit, completely separated from everyone, alone, as a man, but a sinless man.
Amen.
That's the difference. Every step. But He knew all that before He even came. The love of God for man is the same love that Jesus has.
Amen.
The same love that Jesus has is the same love that the Father has and that the Holy Spirit has. They are one. But it's supposed to be our love as well.
Amen.
And that's where this is going. That's why He done that. And this is love. Not that we loved God. We didn't initiate this.
Right.
He initiated it. But that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. There wasn't any other way. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, beloved, if God loved us so very much, we ought to love one another. No man has at any time yet seen God. But if we love one another, God abides, lives, remains in us, and his love, that love which is essentially His, is brought into completion, to its full maturity, runs its full course, and is perfected in us. I'll read that again, verse 12. No man has at any time yet seen God, but if we love one another, God abides, lives, remains in us. And His love, that love which is essentially His, is brought to completion, to its full maturity, runs its full course, is perfected in us.
Amen.
It will not be completed in us, pardon me, until I love my brother.
Yeah.
And that's in my now moment, in my next now moment, in my next one. Verse 13, By this, we come to know, perceive, recognize, and understand that we abide, live, and remain in Him, and He in us. Because He has given, imparted to us, of His Holy Spirit. And besides, we ourselves have seen, have deliberately and steadfastly contemplated, and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world.
Amen.
We can bear witness to that. We know.
Hallelujah.
The Father has sent the Son.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See if I need this next one. I'm going to read 1 John 4:20 and 21, then I'll have to close. If 1 John 4:20, if anyone says, I love God, and hates, detests, abominates his brother in Christ, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment, charge, order, injunction we have from Him, that he who loves God shall love his brother believer also.
Amen.
It's not a suggestion. It's something we must do. And we're not alone in doing it. And that's so awesome.
Hallelujah.
We are so deeply loved. So we need to put on this love. And as I said earlier on closing now, we are clothed with that love. We clothe by our spirit. Our spirit is clothed. but it's clothed from the inside out. When the Spirit comes in, love is there. We call that love forth, and then it starts affecting our mind and our emotions and our will. Love is supposed to be the governing factor in all that we do.
Amen.
Not how we feel and what everybody else says. Father, we thank you for this time in the Word today. Lord, thank you for teaching us. There's some that have heard this today or will hear it later on that the revelation's not there. But we ask you, Lord, by your Spirit, to bring forth that revelation of your love in each of us, whether it's through this message or through another message or through personal study or prayer or whatever. Holy Spirit, we're asking you to bring forth this revelation and the depths of it. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.